Father can change them, and all the wounds you sustained here today, Father can heal them. The darkness of a deep despair-filled ocean can overwhelm the strongest of souls, and the tide
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I am your host, Pastor and Commander Dan. Today is the 8th day of April, year 2018, and we've entitled today's program, The War Has Begun. We had a scheduled guest that was going to join us, but at the last minute they are not able to make it, and so the phone line will be open. Please have your pens and pencils handy, as I will give that phone number out here in just a minute. Before we begin into the heart of the matter, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy or separated remnant. These people are the believing, please note I said believing, sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen over across the ocean, Shumai and Prynhawnda, I believe is how you pronounce it. I know I'm not a native Welsh speaker, but I believe that's pretty close. It's basically saying hello and good afternoon. I'm trying to read. I just got a note here. I had to read it real quick, so I apologize for that interruption. Also, if the audio signal goes in and out a little bit, EFR is having a little bit of problem. Eurofolk Radio is having a problem with one of the servers. It may not be at your end, so just be patient and, you know, stick with us here. We played the song of Jonathan David Brown there at the beginning. Unfortunately, Jonathan has left this plane and gone back across River Jordan way too early, as far as I'm concerned, but he's the author of that song, Call Upon the Name. And the basis for that, of course, is Psalm 105, verse 1, and Isaiah 12, verse 4. We do want to remind you of our website, PastorDan.net. We put quite a bit of information up there as often as we can. We also archive older programs, including the current ones, but also way back to 1999. Programs are up there. I highly recommend some of them that you listen to would be General Ben Pardon, Colonel Francis Farrell, Colonel Don de Grand Pre. Pastor Eli and I did a whole series on many different topics, especially when his book, The Great Impersonation, came out. By the way, I would highly recommend anybody out there that's new to the identity message. And notice we do not say Christian. Or at least I don't use Christian, just identity. Personally, I want to separate myself from what's known as Christian today, because from what I see, it's pretty lame. Doesn't amount for much. Doesn't do anything. It's just a deaf and dumb dog sitting up on the porch. You old timers out there know what I'm talking about. The deaf and dumb dog, the old hunting dog that's got no fight left in him. He just sits up on the porch and gets old and passes away, and he's not good for much of anything. It's just an old, deaf, and dumb dog. No fight left in him. That's churchianity today. And I throw into that mix, by the way, the Roman Catholic Church, the whore of Babylon, and her daughters, which are the Protestant denominations. They are an offshoot of the Roman Catholic Church. You know, it's interesting. I was reading F. Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil, last night, and he was going into the fact that, you know, the Constitution really didn't do us any favors because the colonists did not allow Roman Catholics to hold office or have any political power or to cast a vote. So basically, Roman Catholics were thrown into the lump along with all non-whites. And it reminded me of when I was a boy. That's when the propaganda against WASPs, W-A-S-P, WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, that's when that propaganda all started. And why is that? Because we're the followers of the way, all right? Obviously, Catholics are not. they follow the Pope. The Pope is a foreign entity. He is a foreign ruler. He has his own army. The Jesuits are his assassins and army. All right. So our early founding fathers and colonists who came over here from Europe, they understood that you can't have somebody here who owes allegiance to a foreign power. So a Catholic was like a spy. Okay, it's not that they went out and hung them at night or beat them up in the streets. It's just that you didn't trust them. They held allegiance to a foreign power. What does the Bible say about that? You can't serve two masters, right? Well, let me bring this to a modern perspective here. Okay, so the people who founded this country were smart enough to figure out something as simple as that. You can't serve two masters. You can't trust somebody who claims to serve two masters. And so they didn't trust Catholics. And when I was a young boy, being a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, the elders that I grew up around often talked about the fact they did not trust Catholics. In fact, if you wanted to get the disdain of our family, marry a Catholic, as my one uncle did. And he was pretty much ostracized and excommunicated from most family functions because he dared to marry a Catholic. And now look at our mess, okay? Now, let's take that same line of reasoning and bring it up to the modern era. We've got people called Jews walking amongst us who claim that they can be loyal to our country while maintaining dual citizenship with Itzalai, that litter box in Palestine, Itzalai, when obviously the Bible is true, Christ is true, logic is true, and our ancestors are true. You can't serve two masters. He's a liar. And what did Christ say about Jews when they speak a lie? They speak their own language. Isn't it interesting that the Israeli Mossad's motto is, by deception thou shalt make war? Yep, that's what they're good at, deception. So Christ said it. They identify it themselves in the motto of their own organization, which is their spy organization, the Mossad. They also carry out a lot of the world's assassinations and poisonings and different things that are going on, the intrigue. All right. The very language that these Jews speak, Yiddish, means language of deceivers because the word Yid means a deceiver. In fact, when I was a little boy, often they were referred to as Yids. I listened to a black preacher talking about what the Jews have been up to and how they're behind a lot of the Satanism that's going on. And I guess our black friends refer to them as little hats. I thought it was kind of comical. They refer to them as little hats, the yarmulke, a little hat. But even in the black community, they're waking up to the nefarious activities of these creatures from hell. So again, they want us to ignore history, ignore common sense, ignore the warnings of our founding fathers that said, you can't trust somebody who's claiming to serve two masters. And Yahweh warned us and we ignored it. We ignored our founding fathers. We ignored our parents and our elders. And we thought we were smarter and all that. And we're going to listen to people like Freud, a Jew, Jung, I believe a Jew, and all these other Jews that have infiltrated the universities and colleges to such a degree they're absolutely useless today. So, hold on just a second. Again, I hope the audio signal's good. I'm not monitoring any blogs because it just takes too much time away. Hold on a minute. I'm getting a call here that says I've got some feedback, very bad feedback. Can somebody else that has my cell text me and let me know if they're also having the same problem as far as audio quality? All right. So anyway, that's one of our listeners from Texas. Hopefully it's just their server is the problem and not the program as a whole, because if it's going to be terrible audio, then maybe I'll just pre-record this and upload it later. So, again, if anybody that my personal friends that listen in out there, they have my cell phone number, just send me a text and let me know how the audio quality is. Our Heavenly Father in 1 John chapter 1 says here that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us these sins, which are transgressions of His law, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Also, 2 Chronicles 7:14, we know about that conditional statement, what we're supposed to do if we want Him to heal our land. You know, our people seem to forget about that. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a conditional statement, meaning it starts with an if, okay? Anybody knows anything about grammar? Conditional statements are a little bit like a formula in math. Here is the one side of the equation, here's the second side. Well, you don't get the second side unless you fulfill the first side, all right? Okay, thank you. I just got a comment here that says the audio at their level is good. So any listeners having problem, you may have to restart. Okay, I just got another one loud and clear. Okay, for those folks who are having trouble, I do know that some folks have to refresh their page, the web page for Eurofolk Radio. Sometimes that fixes it. So apparently, anyway, if you're having that kind of trouble right now with echoes and things like that, it's at your end. So let's hope it stays that way. We have enough gremlins to fight trying to get the word out today, especially since the Jews and all of their hirelings are attacking free speech in America. And let me interject something here while I'm thinking about this too. You know, the war has begun because it's an ideological war. Whenever you're dealing with the communists, all right, it starts out as an ideological war. And here's the way they did it in Germany. If you read Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, which means My Struggle, he had the same struggle in post-World War I Germany, okay? Hitler was a decorated soldier, and he was in the trenches, so he got to see trench warfare up close and personal. He spent time in hospital, too. And while he was in hospital, that's where he discovered that there was treason in the Wehrmacht. Okay, back in Berlin, there was treason. There were people holding rallies, denouncing the war, denouncing the German soldiers, and it turned out to be communists. All right, the early communists, they didn't call themselves that, of course. They called themselves workers for the people. And you see these Antifa and anti-Second Amendment people out here with things like rights, power to the people and stuff like that. That's exactly, you see, it's the same MO. So people that say that Jews are smart, no, they're not. You'd think they'd come up with a different MO. You'd think they'd come up with a different strategy, but they don't. They keep doing the same BS over and over and over. The sad part of it is that it works. All right? That's the shameful part of all this, is these effing bastards don't even change the script. And yet there's people that buy this bullshit. I'm speaking as Commander Dan right now. All right? We buy it. Why are we buying it? Now, the good news is, and I'm going to read some news items here, people are waking up. All right? There are a remnant out there. The valley of dead and dry bones that Ezekiel told us about in chapter 37, apparently those dead and dry bones are starting to become alive. That's why I love that song by Laura Daigle, Come Alive. In fact, we may play it here in a little bit because it speaks of that Ezekiel passage. Come alive. Stop being dead and dry bones. You're not just a bag of bones. You're supposed to accomplish something. You're men and women of Yahweh. And the men of Yahweh, I'm here happy to report, who have been contacting me here of late, are starting to grow their testicles back. Hallelujah! All right? They're not ashamed of being male. And they've decided they don't want to be a cuck, a snowflake, a mama's boy, a soy boy. All the different terms for these things that walk around with male anatomy but don't know a damn thing about being a male. Look, I'm not trying to be too detrimental to my fellow men out there, but in defense of a lot of our men, we haven't had very good teachers and leaders, have we? Let's see. When was the last time a real man sat in the Oval Office of the White House? Okay, when was the last time you had a real man with a set of cojones in behind the pulpit? When did you have real men as members of your family? Now, I'm older, so I actually can answer yes to that. My grandfather was a U.S. Marine attached to an artillery battalion in World War II. And I'm going to tell you something. That man was all man. Until I was 18 years old, I was afraid of him, as I was afraid of my father. My father didn't take shit from anybody, especially children. I'm going to give you a real quick story. When I was in my 20s and went through my first divorce because I believed that the modern marriage was the right thing to do and trying to please women was the right thing to do, wrong, on every level wrong. But anyway, it bothered me so much that some of the family members said, maybe you should go down and talk to a counselor about it. So I said, all right. So I went to see this guy. And he talked to me and he said, Dan, there's nothing wrong with you. You just have a problem with women. You got too many women in your life that you're trying to make happy and you can't do that. Thank you. So that was one counselor anyway that had his poop in one sock. And then the family wasn't happy with that because what they wanted is him to tell me I was crazy and to go back to the first B-I-T-C-H that I was with. And so I went to see this female, and she tried to convince me that the world is gray and that everything is gray. There's only a little bit black and white, and she could have been Jewish. I wasn't Jew aware back then. So I pretty much blew her off after a while, and I said, you know what? I said, I think you're full of crap. I said, I think I'm going to go with what my father taught me, which is the world is black and white. Very, very little is gray. He used to put it this way. There's a right way of doing something and a wrong way. There is no gray. There's right and there's wrong. You read the scriptures and the laws of our Father. There's right and there's wrong. This whole notion, this social construct that everything is gray, like your gender, the pronouns we use, race mixing, all this is a Jewish, satanic, communist, Khazar, Satanist mind construct. If you fall for it, you're just like Eve in the garden, you're falling for a lie. And so they tried to convince me my father was wrong, and Dad was right. Dad was right. He didn't take any crap from anybody. So when I went home from that visit and I told him what this female supposedly psychiatrist, I call it psychobabble. That's what psychiatry is, psycho or pseudobabble or psychobabble. It makes no sense. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have a job where you can basically sit there and let somebody else do the talking and just and spit out a few things here and there and get paid what they get paid and you're never wrong? Isn't that neat? It's like weathermen. Wouldn't it be neat to have a job where you can go in and be wrong every single day and still have the job and still be paid? That's what psychiatry and psychology is all about. No offense to you, Pastor Eli. I know you have degrees in that. But that's my personal opinion because psychology and psychiatry is from Freudianism and it's Jewish from its inception. And to me, it's a pseudoscience. So when I told my father about this visit and what I was told, he just laughed. And he said, where in the world did you get an idea like that? Because I told him, she said, you know, you're supposed to be a friend to your children. So I told my father, I said, Dad, how come you weren't my friend? He said, let me set you straight here, lad. I'm not supposed to be your friend. He goes, in fact, until you're 18 years old, I really don't give a damn if I even talk to you that much. He goes, because you don't have much worth to listen to. He says, but until you're 18 years old, I will put up with you because that's my job. I will feed you. I will clothe you. I'll provide a home for you. I will educate you. I will give you everything that I can do as a man to have you succeed when you leave this home and you're on your own. He goes, that's my job. He goes, being your friend is not part of this equation. He goes, because personally, I don't give a damn whether you like what I tell you or not. All you need to know until you're 18 years old is that I'm the man of this house, and my rules are the rules that you will live by. If you violate my rules, after I kick the shit out of you, I will throw you out of this house. Now, that's what he told me as a young man. Now, these morons today will tell you that, oh, Dan, that sounds so horrible. He must have affected you. Blah, 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 blah. You know, you have low self-esteem. No, he didn't affect shit. He made me work harder. Just like my coaches in football and baseball. When I made a mistake, they were all over me. I can't tell you how many times I had a clipboard taken over my helmet in football practice. I can't tell you how many times a coach's shoe was up my ass in practice. How many times a fist hit me in the chest or knocked me into the dirt because I made a mistake. Did it make me a snowflake or a soy boy and make me want to run around with a purse and put my hair up in a bun? No. I just knocked the dirt off me and said, well, I guess I don't want to do that again. It made me work harder. But here's the beautiful part of it. Here's the beautiful part of it that these nimbulbs out here, these nitwits, these pseudoscientists don't tell you. Yeah, the coach was rough. Coach Ray, Coach DeLucas, all the different coaches, all those years. I played a lot of years of football and a lot of years and seasons of baseball. And softball. But here's the beautiful part. Was when that coach that was tough as nails came up to you and put his arm around you and says, man, that was one hell of a game that you caught. That was one hell of a game that you were the offensive lineman that made the blocks that allowed us to get the touchdowns. That was a hell of a block on that linebacker that was going to nail the quarterback and possibly hurt him, and you stopped him dead in his tracks. You know what? That makes it worthwhile. That's the part they don't tell you. Yeah, when somebody like a parent or a coach is a hard ass on you, yeah, it's rough, but that's what toughens you up. Steel or iron sharpens iron. All right, you don't sharpen a knife by putting a wet blade of grass or a wet towel over it and expect to sharpen that blade, do you? No, you take something hard, and that's what builds character. That's what builds integrity. That also builds self-confidence, because we're all going to make mistakes. But what's it teach you? It teaches you that, well, yeah, you're going to make a mistake, but you know what? If you persevere. Wait a minute. I read about that somewhere. Oh, that's right. It's in the Bible. If you persevere, you become an overcomer. Everything in Scripture is mirrored in life, folks, whether you like to admit it or not. I had a conversation with a Navy buddy of mine right before the program. We were talking about all the ills that the white man faces today. I said they're all easily fixable. The only thing we need is the white men to come together and say, I've had enough. We're the ones that were given the power to fix what's wrong in this world today. We keep looking to these morons in government, morons at the Pentagon at the upper levels, these morons in society, these morons in our institutions, these morons in banking, morons in the news media, in the medical profession. They're all run by the same nitwits and typically Jewish. If they're not Jewish, they're under Jewish control, either through pay or blackmail or pressure. All right. So if the white men decide we've had enough and we're going to follow that formula in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people will do the following, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. It's simple. Every problem we have today has a very simple answer. The tough part is getting white men to put their pride to the side, to put their egos to the side, and determine that we're going to fix the damn problem. Now, the conversation at one point got to, what about the ladies? All right, because the adversary, the Jew, through the suffrage movement of the 1920s, you have to ask yourself, why did the Jews and all of those hags that were part of the feminist movement and the suffrage movement were Jews? They're hags, all right? They're Antichrist Jews. So why did the Jews want to put money and put their own hags out there and pretend to be white to get white women to go along with the feminist movement? Because the serpent has a certain amount of wisdom. It's criminal, but it's wisdom in the sense that he knows he can't defeat Adam on a one-to-one basis or in an open, fair fight. Can't do it. They don't have the muscle. They don't have the integrity. They sure as hell don't have morality on their side, and they don't have Yahweh on their side. So how do they do it? They got to go through the back door. How did the serpent, Nakash, the two-legged serpent with a mouth that could speak a language, how did he get Eve in the garden? He waited for Adam not to be around to contest what he said, and he got into Eve's ear. How did the Jews in 1920s? Well, what was going on in the 1920s? Oh, that's right. There were a lot of homes with radios back then, weren't they? Oh, mass information. And who controlled the information? Nakash, the serpent. The serpent started whispering. Well, we've got these women that think that women should have a right to vote. They're not women. They're Jews. That's an alien creature. That's not a woman. Just look at what they look like when they become older, for crying out loud. Oh, my God. Tell me they're not lizards. They sure as hell don't look like people. So these lizard creatures were pawned off as white women who were demanding the right to vote. Okay, so white men succumbed, they acquiesced, and they allowed women the right to vote. Well, the Jew was happy because now he's got a pliable force to outvote the white men. That's why he wanted power given to minorities and women. Because he already had possession of the things that will persuade them to vote whatever way he wants. And now look at our country. So, any good detective will say, well, let's trace the steps of this crime backwards. Let's go from this hellhole that we live in now with the trillions of dollars of debt that will never be repaid, that we're spending way too much of our gross national product paying these corrupt, nefarious bankers, all the crime, all the infiltration of our country, the complete decimation of our republic. We're not a damn democracy. Stop it. It's a republic. And it's a republic built upon father's law, not even the Constitution. The colonies lived according to father's law. They didn't need a constitution to know that. So if we go backwards, excuse me, if we go backwards and we follow the crimes that have been committed in the deterioration of society, we start seeing some key points, and especially since the 1900s. Now, there were some things that went on before then, but right around the early 1900s, things really went to hell. And that's when the Jews rose to prominence because of, again, modern inventions allowing the means to manipulate the minds of the white race were given to them. And they used it. And the white race, unfortunately, because the pastors about the same time became the cucks and soy boys and girls that they are today, they stopped warning them about the sheep. They stopped warning them about wolves that run around in sheep's clothing. They may look like you, and some of these Jews do because of interbreeding. They may have the appearance of white. They may have two arms, two legs. They may speak the same language, but they're not you, sheep. They're wolves. Pastors stopped giving the warning. So the wolves came in, and guess what? They started undermining everything. And they started promoting the idea of centralization is the way to go because it's more efficient. And how did they sell it to our stupid sheep? Well, if it's more efficient, it will cost you less. We're going to save you money. Of course, they're laughing all the way to the synagogue because while you're giving up all your rights and allowing them to institute all these mega conglomerations, in the end, they have no competition. Therefore, the price will go through the ceiling. All you have to do is look at the history of automobile insurance to see that happen. Okay? So, we go back and back and back, and we see a commonality in all of the criminality that was put upon the white race. And this applies in the other white countries, too, not just the United States. The same group of nefarious termites was eating away at the fabric of white society all through this period of time. And it's the Jew, just like Ted Nugent found out, the Jew. Ted Nugent is a avid Second Amendment advocate, and he did some digging, and Ted Nugent has a brain, and those around him, and they did some digging, which is what we should do anytime something happens, just like this chemical attack in Syria. Already we're blaming the Russians. How the hell do we know? How do we know what happened? Every time somebody in Washington denigrates somebody within 24 hours of an event, you know it was staged. You know it was done on purpose, and it was done to bring about a deception every single time. Parkland, Florida is no exception. This David Hogue and what's her name? Emma Gonzalez, who happened to be related, parents associated with CNN and the FBI, all the connections to the mainstream, and also they are not white, by the way. All right? Now, the media is telling you they're our spokesman. We're supposed to listen to what these two upstarts have to say. I got news for them. I don't give a damn what they say. First of all, they're too damn young to have an opinion that I care about. And second of all, they're not white. They shouldn't even be here. And I don't even know that there are actual students there, to be honest with you. I don't even know. David Hogue's already been found out to be a liar. He wasn't at the school that day. All right. So where did he come from? Well, the news media can make you believe anything, just like Albert Einstein is a brilliant scientist. Really? Everything I've looked up on Albert Einstein says he was an idiot. He was a clerk in a patent office. The last time I checked, you don't have to have a very high IQ to work as a clerk in a patent office. Einstein was another buffoon, but he was Jewish. And he stole patents from the patent office and gave them to his Jewish friends, and therefore they said, well, we'll make you out to be a celebrity there, Albert. We'll send you around to signing events, and you can have, we'll ghostwrite books for you and articles, and you just go along with the flow, just like this Neil deGrasse Tyson, another buffoon. But the media tells these, oh, he's a smart astrophysicist. Really? He looks like a complete idiot to me, but the media holds him up there. Barack Obama, another idiot. You bought it, though. Why? Oh, because the Jewish media told me so. Really? This is the same guy that can't finish a sentence when the teleprompter shuts off? And that's brilliance? You know, that's not brilliance. That's the power of the media over weak minds, which the average white person today has. Weak minds. They don't know how to do deductive reasoning. They don't even know how to think. Most white people today don't even know how to read. And so they get away with this BS. I just read another article holding up some woman as some kind of a great physicist and knows all about the universe because of her great studies. Oh, here we go again. Another Jew who knows everything. Why? Because the Jew that wrote the article says so. And they reference other Jews who did things such as win the Nobel Prize. Oh, really? Well, who controls who gets the Nobel? That's right. The same Jews. The same Jews that awarded the Nobel Prize to the orangutan in the White House when he hadn't done a goddamn thing to bring peace on this earth. But they gave it to him. Why? Because he needed some kind of credentials because he's a retard and never did a damn thing in his worthless life. There. I said what you're all thinking. All right? He's a moron. He's an idiot. And the truth about Michael is coming out rapidly, too. You know, some you people are told her name is Michelle. It's Michael. All right? I'll tell you, I don't know whether to laugh or to cry when I think about how we have been completely bamboozled so easily. It takes me back to the stories in the Bible of Balak and Balaam when he was commissioned to figure out how to defeat the Israelite army, because the king says, I can't beat them on the battlefield. He must have been a Jew too, huh? I can't beat these guys on a battlefield, so I want you to go up there and you figure out, what can I do? What can I do to win this battle against these white guys? Because they're pretty damn good soldiers. You know, when they're acting in unison, they're pretty damn good. So he goes up and he says, well, King, I'm going to tell you something. You don't stand a chance against them in a fair fight. You really don't. However, they do have weaknesses. Really? What's that? Well, he says, you know, I've done some reading in these ancient texts. And you know, God created two marvelous things for the white man. And if you got small children there, you might want them to tune out here for a few minutes. There's two great things that he did for the white man. He gave him a brain that's just phenomenal. Phenomenal. High IQ. Tremendous creativity, tremendous drive and everything else. It's just a marvelous thing that he created. He also gave him this thing called a penis. Yep, it's pretty marvelous too. Does great things, can bring about great pleasures. It can procreate and bring about a lot of Israelites in a short period of time if they do it the Yahweh's way. If you try to do it the Catholic Church's way, it could take you forever or possibly never. He goes, but I was reading in these texts, and the people that wrote these ancient texts, they were pretty wise, and I'm not sure how they figured it out, but they said, you know, here's the problem, though. Yahweh only gave Adam enough blood to supply one of them at a time. So here's what we're going to do, King. All we got to do is get the blood into that little head, and the big head is going to be deficient and won't work right. So here's what we'll do. We'll dress up the prettiest girls of the non-Israelites, the non-whites, and we'll parade them around half naked, like they do at the Super Bowl every year. All these non-whites half naked, and we'll parade them around in front of these white guys. And as soon as the blood starts leaving their brains, they're going to go out there and they're going to start mingling with them. And they're going to fall into their idolatry. They're going to fall into race mixing. All the things that you know that Yahweh hates. Because Yahweh has made it very clear that he will not support the army that violates his law. So let's go do that. And then once that blood's out of their brains, they're not going to be able to think about defense. They're not going to be able to think about tactics. And even they're not even going to care about their own race. All they're going to care about is that little head gets what it wants. And by God, if it didn't work. And you know what? Multiple thousands of years later, it's still working. Why is it you think the Jews run the pornography industry? The Jews run most prostitution. Organized crime is from Jewish brains and Jewish money. And if you haven't done the research to figure that out, that's your problem, not mine. So, we've got the same MO. See, this is the amazing part to me, that in this much time has transpired from the days of the prophets and Balaam and Balak and the Israelite army falling by the sword because they didn't have enough blood in their brains to figure things out. Well, the average white people today are the same way. They don't have any blood left up in that brain to work. It's all in their sensory organs because they're either chasing booze, drugs, entertainment, or sex. That's it. Are they chasing godliness? No. They don't even know that God exists. And even if he does, they don't give a shit. Why? Well, the Jew has made sure I have all my entertainment I need. I've got all the drugs I want to buy. I've got all the booze I want. I've got a job. Yeah, I don't like it, and I'm working for some complete retards. But, hey, it's helping make the payments on my BMW. It's making payments on my little condo or whatever. So why should I rock the boat? You see, we don't stand for anything anymore. We have gone the way of the idolater, and we worship idols. And you know, there's a lot of people today, they go, well, Dan, that's just not true. I don't have a statue of Moloch in my house, and I don't get down and burn incense to Moloch. And Dan, I never put my child in the arms of Moloch and burned him alive like them those dumbasses did back there in the Old Testament. No, but Herb, let me ask you something there, buddy. Wasn't it your granddaughter I saw coming out of the abortion clinic the other day? Wasn't it your son I saw coming out of the bar with a black woman on his arm? You don't do anything to stop abortion, which is the murdering of babies, up over 60 million in America alone. 60 million babies butchered. You got no problem with that, Herb. Oh, wait a minute. What's that car? Oh, you've got two cars. You've got a Wave Runner. And you've got a bass boat, and you've got a house about three times bigger than what you need, but you're not an idol worshiper. Oh, no, Herb, you're not. I'm sorry. You don't put those things above what's right and wrong, do you? So I have to apologize. You're right. You don't put your job above doing right and wrong. You don't put your promotions that you're hoping to get above right and wrong. You don't put your fine property above right and wrong. Correct, Herb? Herb, why won't you look at me in the eye? Herb, why are you looking at the ground? I'm talking to you. Look at me in the eye and tell me you're not an idol worshiper. That's because you are, Herb. And Herb is representative of most white people today. You worship things made of stone, metal, precious stones. And those things are just biblical representations of the crap that's out here that you see around you. Most white people, Well, if I go down to the abortion clinic and my boss sees me with a sign down there, you know, Mr. Goldberg is the vice president of our company, and he's put it out there. If he sees any of his white people out there protesting the murdering of a baby, we're going to lose our job. Do you see how they do it? Look at all the trouble that Laura Ingraham's had. Because of what? Advertisers. Let's see. Who controls the terrible power of the purse in advertising? Oh, it's Mr. Steinbeck and Mr. Katz. Yeah. How do they manipulate things? They don't come out. Do you think the Jew's going to come out there and stand in front of you and demand you Christian men allow babies to be butchered? No. He wouldn't stand a chance. He does it through the back door. He shuts down dissent. Why do you think these Jewish-run companies like Amazon and YouTube and Google and Facebook, all of them run by these kikes? Why do you think they're trying to shut off dissent and opinions that differ from theirs? Why do you think they're trying to shut down the truth channels? Remember, the truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And nobody hates the truth more than a Jew. Remember, they live on deception. They live by deception, which means automatically that they're liars. It's not hard to figure out, folks. It really isn't. Now, some of the good news. Everybody is talking about this Q phenomenon and QAnon and whether Trump's doing this or that or whether the White Hats are doing this or that. I did read an article talking about America First, which was a group of military generals that started a group right after World War I, and apparently they're still alive and kicking. I'm personally praying for them that if they're behind some of the stuff going on, hallelujah, guys. Hallelujah. If you actually have intestinal fortitude enough to stand up for morality in this world and you're putting your military training to use to combat evil, then you have my blessings and my prayers. Most of the people at the upper levels in the Pentagon, I wouldn't give you a tinker's damn for any of them. And that goes especially for those in Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, because that's exactly what they are. So, again, the whole world is in travail. Why? Because the white man, the sons of Yahweh, have not manifested. Have not manifested. What does that mean? When the Bible says they haven't been manifested, do you know what it means? And I know I'm rambling on here. The phone line is open, and I will give out the number here shortly. Anyway, look up in the dictionary. You know the other book with all the dust over it right next to the Bible with about an inch of dust on it? And look up the word manifested. And all you people that have an anathema to books, you know, you just can't stand the idea of reading anything in a book, get on your damn computer then and go to Webster's or Oxford's dictionary and do it online then if you're too damn lazy to open a book. Look up the word manifest. It means that it can be perceived by the senses, particularly sight, which means why do we have the travail that's going on today? Why are the blacks taken advantage of in Africa and the mineral resources stolen from them by the Jew? And why are the whites being put upon by the Antichrist, anti-white, Zionist, communist Jews? Why are the people of Asia taken advantage of and their property and their minerals and their vegetation stolen from them, their mineral rights and resources stolen from them by the Jew? The whole world is in travail. Why? Because there's a strange absence of white believing men on the scene. Case in point. Oh, by the way, today is the 19th day of Abib, and we're still in the Passover week in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So I hope folks are keeping the leaven out of their diet and out of their homes, but particularly your diet. And here's why. The feast is to teach you a lesson, and yeast represents false doctrine, and you're supposed to keep it out of your house and out of your body. So do a little test. All of the news events that you read, all these horrific things, and you see today, especially since you have online, most people have computers or access to computers, so it's pretty easy to see a face, to see a person now. So when the boob tube, the electronic toilet, the image of the beast, is showing you the perpetrators of the crimes and the perpetrators of the treason in the white nations. How many times, take a pad of paper with you and mark how many times the people causing the trouble were white men who believe in Yahweh. Please take note of that, would you please? I already know the answer to that, but I'm really hoping that you will figure it out. All right. The answer, of course, is zero. All right. Now, we're not causing the problem, are we? But the Jew media wants you to think that white privilege, they call it white privilege. Really? You see, the Jew always throws a term in here. That's like now, if you're not for destroying my constitutionally guaranteed rights. By the way, that right existed prior to the Constitution. So even if there were no Constitution, my right to have weapons of self-defense doesn't have anything to do with that piece of paper. But these people are saying that it's equivalent to hating children and promoting violence against children. Now, these same lying hypocrites aren't pounding down the doors of the Podesta brothers and Bill and Hillary and Obama for their pedophilia. Do you see any of these hypocrites? Where is David Hogue and Emma Gonzalez about the death and brutal murder and even cannibalization of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of children worldwide? Where are these two big mouth little hypocrites? because there's far more of that going on, and it's been going on for a long time. And that's been verifiable. But they wouldn't know because they're idiots, first of all, and they're just doing what they're told because they're actually, his name is Hogg. I think he says it's Hogg, but it's actually Hogg. And why is that? Because he's a hog for his face in front of the camera. He's a hog for attention. He's a hog to feel somehow worthy because he knows he's a cuck. He knows he's a soy boy, and he's really not a man. Actually, Gonzalez represents more masculinity than Hogg does. But neither one of them matter because they're not citizens, not according to the founding fathers of this land, because neither one of them is white. You know, and some people say, Dan, that doesn't sound fair. It sounds mean. Really? Well, let's see. Let's take a trip. Come on, all you people that believe that that's unreasonable and unfair. All right, we're going to go take a trip. You're all going to donate now. I'm not going to pay for your sorry asses. But we're going to take a trip. We're going to go by boat, and we're going to sail over to Itzalai, and we're going to stand outside that 20 or 30-foot wall that they've built around their little pigsty, and we're going to demand that they let us in and give us full rights as citizens of Itzalai. How do you think that's going to work out? All right, well, let's stay on that boat, and let's take a trip around to Hong Kong and Singapore, and we'll get off, and we'll go up on the mainland of China, and we'll demand that we get let in and given full rights as Chinamen, and we'll be able to turn it into a republic because we don't like communism. Let's see how that works out. All right, so are you hypocrites protesting the lying Jews of Itzalai or the communist Chinese? Huh? Are you? Well, wait a minute. There's far more people enslaved and living under domination and being murdered on a daily basis. And if you don't know that, just ask the Palestinians trapped within the walls of that litter box in Palestine. All right. Where are you hypocrites on those kind of issues? All right. So it's not mean for me to say what's true. We dedicated this program 18 years ago when it started, almost 18 and a half years now, to the truth. All right. If you don't like the truth, then you must be one of those that hates the truth and you need to leave. Because if we're not all about the truth, then what the hell good are we? The truth of the matter is this country, this nation it means race, by the way, was founded by white European men. If you don't like that, then get the hell out. They're the ones that founded it. They're the ones who established it. They were the spiritual leaders, the military leaders, the agricultural leaders, and the industrial leaders. All right? Now, shame on our ancestors for not listening to George Washington and Ben Franklin when they said to keep the damn Jews out. Shame on them. They didn't have enough intestinal fortitude to stand up to the power and the money of the Jew. And Rothschild made sure his little agents came over here with big old bags of gold and silver to buy off just enough white guys to get their noses in the door, just like the camel, get that big old honker nose in the door. All right? That's to the chagrin of our ancestors that they did not listen to the founding fathers like Washington and Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and Andrew Jackson. And further back, Martin Luther. Martin Luther even wrote a book, The Jews and Their Lies. How many Lutherans out there even know that? You go to a church named after Martin Luther and you don't even know that, do you? You're stupid. It's our stupidity that's got us in trouble because the founding fathers said you cannot be ignorant and free. I love the little one-liners, don't you? The little one-liners, those little nuggets that our ancestors, they remind me of my father. He used to drop them little nuggets. We'd be out baling hay or putting up fence or rowing the weeds out of the garden, working on the tractor, working on the trucks. And we'd be working along, and I'd be listening to doing what he told me to do, and he'd drop a little one-liner, you know. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Of course, Franklin penned that first, but Dad, those are little one-liners, and a lot of them come right out of the Bible. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor's warning. Right out of the Bible. I didn't know that when I was a boy, but I remembered that saying. And sure enough, it's true. If the sky is a reddish tint, it's going to be good weather. But if it's reddish tint in the morning, you're going to have some bad weather. You see, little one-liners. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man wealthy, healthy, and wise. We've chosen the path of stupidity. We've chosen the path of ignorance. We've chosen the path of decadence. We're getting the fruits. When you worship the Antichrist, when you worship things that are not of Yahweh, you get exactly what you deserve. I hate to tell you that. And sometimes people say, Dan, it sounds almost like you hate people. I don't hate anybody. In fact, people that really know me, no, I don't really hate anybody. I've got a neighbor that's a black guy. We get along fine. Get along fine. Why? Because he acts like a man. He's always courteous. He always waves. He's always quick to come over and give me a hand if I need it, and I do the same for him. A man that acts like a man has my respect. I don't care what race he is. The problem is we got a lot of people here that do not act as Yahweh commands. I wish everybody would become believers and just behave themselves. I really do. And that even includes these nefarious and Zionist communist Jews. I wish they weren't what they are, but they are. And they've been that way for thousands and thousands of years. So the Bible's probably true. A leopard can't change its spots. Why? Because it's at the DNA level. Why does the Jew do what he's done for thousands of years, and 109 times he's been thrown out of the various countries of Europe around this world? 109 times Jews have been expelled by monarchs and rulers. Because they're Jews? No, because of what they do. And now it's happening in Canada, in Europe, Australia, South Africa, and America. The same parasites have finagled their way in and are eating away at our sustenance, as Ben Franklin said, and they have literally destroyed a once great and powerful nation. Now, supposedly, and I say supposedly, Donald is heading up a team. I'm going to call it an American First team, because I'm hoping it's those guys behind this. Supposedly, they are doing warfare behind the scenes at the moment against the bad guys. And again, if they are, then they have my prayers, my support. If they're not, then they're part of the problem. But regardless of whether they're for real, it does not take away from what the Bible has told us about the end times and who brings his kingdom to bear. His sons with the help of his daughters, but primarily by his sons. Psalm 149 very clearly states it is our honor and our duty. Jeremiah talked about the fact that we are his battle axe and weapons of war. And why are we his battle axe? To bring about what? Judgment upon the wicked. There's another old one-liner they used to say all the time. All it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And you people out there in churchianity, the so-called Judeo-Christian churches, you are worse than the infidel. You are the lukewarm church that Christ is going to vomit out of his mouth because you don't stand for anything. You are contemptible, pompous asses. Claiming to believe in the God of the Bible, claiming to believe in the Christ, claiming to stand for all of these pious and noble ideas, when in fact you're a bunch of lazy, no good for nothing assholes and you don't do a damn thing except look pretty, dress up one day out of the week, and think you're doing service to the living God, when in fact you are pompous asses and you are to be vomited out as the lukewarm, good-for-nothing pieces of dog meat that you are. You are worse than the infidel. Because the Jew doesn't hide who he is. If you have enough sense and your eyes are open, you can tell a Jew. He doesn't change how he does things. It reminds me of that time I went into the courthouse and stood against the assistant county prosecutor. Kind of funny because everything in that courthouse was Jewish. The name of the courthouse was Jewish. The governor of Jersey at the time was Jewish. The lieutenant governor was Jewish. The secretary of state was Jewish. The county prosecutor and the assistant prosecutor, Jewish. The public defender I was dealing with, Jewish. Two-thirds of the judges, Jewish. The others were minorities, Japanese and black. Not much white in that building. But when I looked at him and he tried to tell me what the procedures were and what I wanted to do was against the procedures, and I just looked at him and I says, don't tell me about procedures because I write procedures for a profession. I know all about technical writing. And I said, I also know that you guys write these procedures and claim that you go by them, but you violate them when it suits your purpose anytime you want. He kind of stopped looking at me at that point. He was looking at the ground, much like Herb was earlier in our conversation. He didn't want to look me in the eye. I wonder why. Do you think he saw some light of the fire of indignation, righteous indignation that was burning? Because I sure as hell had it. I said, well, let me tell you, sir, what's going to happen here. If you don't give me what I want, I will go back to the registered letter writing campaign that I was told about by a military intelligence friend of mine, and which was based on a biblical principle of the woman trying to get justice in the New Testament. I said, I'm going to go back to what I was doing before I came here, and I'm going to expose everything going on at this courthouse and at the jail by the warden and by the sheriff's department and by the state police, and registered letters will continue on a weekly basis until I get what I want. So either you allow me the audience with the defendant now, or I'll just go back home and start writing my letters again. Well, lo and behold, he went away, and 20 minutes later, he said, you can go ahead and go back and see the defendant, but we're going to have to frisk you. It was kind of interesting. It was like, you've got this whole building locked down. Every cop in here owes his allegiance to the damn Jewish judges and the Jews in the office building there. So you've got everybody in here that's armed is in your court. The building is locked down. I'm one guy, and you're afraid of me. Does that show you the level of ineptness and cowardice amongst our enemy? I said, okay, fine. You want to frisk me, frisk me. So the county officer came over to me, and he was a rather big guy. He said, Dan, I'm going to have to frisk you. And I just looked at him. I said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, what's that? I said, are you from San Francisco? And he just laughed. He said, no. I said, well, then you can frisk me. So even in a very tense moment like that, the county officer got a good chuckle and I got a good chuckle. He understood what I meant. I just wanted to make sure he wasn't a queer. And so he frisked me. He said, go on back, Dan. So I ran into a lot of guys like that, white guys that are trapped in a bad system. Robert David Steele talks about that all the time, that we have good men and women who are trapped in a bad system. But at some point, the good men and women have to decide that they no longer want to be in that system as it is. Once we take our country back and establish Yahweh's law, then they can have their jobs back. I would gladly give any of them a job back as righteous men and women living in a land ruled by righteous rulers and not these satanic Jews. So we have solutions to everything. It's just the world's waiting for the men, the white men. When are you going to say it's had enough, guys? That's what I want to know. Or do you still have the problem with the egos? All right. Now, that was the interesting thing. Pastor Eli mentioned it earlier today on his radio show, Bloodlines. He was talking about the fact that I did an interview on a channel devoted to the pagans and the Norsemen and National Socialists and people like that. And Alfred Schaefer was part of the discussion. So it actually went very, very well. And I didn't get as much talking time as I probably would have liked to, but that's okay. I was a guest. I'll take whatever he gives. But the main thing was that we were able to get the commonality of purpose and the commonality for many of our beliefs across to the pagan and Norsemen and National Socialists and other racialists that were listening. They don't understand that. You see, too many people today think that this thing that poses as Christianity out there is the true faith. No, it's not. It's part of the Catholic Church, right? Where do you think the word Protestant comes from? Protesters, Martin Luther protesting the 99 Theses, all right? Protesting what? The Pope and the Catholic Church. So it wasn't that they didn't want to be Catholic anymore. They didn't like what the Pope was doing. They wanted to reform the Catholic Church. Well, how do you reform Satan? Again, the leopard can't change his spots. The Pope, being an Antichrist Jesuit Jew, can't change his spots. So now the Black Pope and the White Pope are Jesuit Jews. Interesting. That's a first time, or at least it's the first admitted time. Just like I said, Obama's our first Black president. Really? Let's see. He's got Jew and Black in him. How's that full blood Black? He's the first mulatto president. He's not Black. He's a mulatto. He's a mamzer in the Hebrew tongue, meaning he's a half-breed. And it's kind of funny. Obama, very violent man, very much hates America, hates everything America stands for, worked his entire career, if you want to call it that. He's just a shill. But he's a half-breed. And isn't it funny how Charles Weissman, in his book, Anthology of Racial Issues, he points out the fact that mixed breed people tend to be very susceptible to mental illness, schizophrenia, and many times violence. Now, I've done the research. I went and looked at the most wanted lists for violent criminals way back when I first read the book. And sure enough, the very vast majority of those on the wanted lists were half-breeds. And it was easy to tell they were half-breeds. And particularly half-breeds with some mixture of Black in them. It's just the ones I looked at, okay? I'm not saying that every half-breed with Black in them is going to be violent. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the websites that I went to look at that had the most wanted violent criminals, the mamzers that they had on their mugshots, were mixtures of Black. Black, yellow, black, white, black this, black that. Okay? You take from it whatever you want. I'm just telling you what I found. Go do your own research. I don't ever ask anybody to believe what I talk about on this show by itself. Take me for a source of information based on my life's experience, my research, what the Bible has taught me, what my prayer life has taught me. I'm sharing it with you so you can add it to whatever you have and any other sources you have, and we come together as a team for the truth. In the council of many, there is victory. Are you listening, white guys? In the council of many, there is victory. Council of many. How many of our ancestors, whether you're talking about Moses, Joshua, Abraham, King David, how many of those men went out and fought their battles all by themselves? With the exception of King David and Goliath, that was one-on-one combat. But how many of them went out to fight an enemy by themselves? How many of them went out to fight a strategy that they came up with all by themselves? I would say probably none, because they had counselors. Just like King Arthur and his round table. What was the purpose of the round table? That everybody had an equal seat at the table. There was no head of the table. Everybody had equal standing on his committee. Everybody could speak their mind. As Colonel Potter says all the time, I don't want a echo chamber. I want dissent. If you actually believe that dissent is in order, then I want to hear your dissent. I don't want to hear an echo chamber just saying that I'm right because you just don't want to argue or you just don't know. I expect you to know. And if you have a different opinion, I want to hear it. And then we're going to work out who's right, who's wrong, or maybe it's a mixture. Maybe I'm part right and you're part right. If you think about it, everything in Scripture and everything that Revelation tells us about this fight at the end of the age is teaching us how to get along as a family, teaching us how to get along as a team. If you notice, there's no I in team. Do we know how to be team players? All right. So I just had my screens go blank. I thought I had another power outage here, but it was just the timer on the monitor. So also, I want to give a shout out to a brother, dear brother John up here in Miami, who's donated to the ministry here some more electronics to make it an even fancier command center. it's almost embarrassing. The generosity and the good things that Father through these soldiers of Yah have donated and helped to turn this into literally a command center. So thank you very much, guys, and Yahweh bless your hearts. Also, a shout out to Doc Waterman. He's back from his Feast of Passover, and he's ready to get back into the Israelite Signal Corps, which is our intelligence gathering network that's developing across America and the world. And also a shout out to the Israelites who contacted me and volunteered to be part of that intelligence gathering operation. So, Doc, I hope you're feeling better and you're rested and re-energized from the Passover Fellowship, and that the Signal Corps will be up and running and back on track here real soon. We may need it pretty soon. Another little saying that I've had here, and I like to, I know I read these things over and over, but sometimes you need to hear them more than once. This was sent to me anonymously, code of honor. Be without fear in the face of your enemies. Does not the scripture tell us to be without fear? Amen. It sure does. Stand brave and upright. Don't be ashamed. We have the right to have righteous indignation in the face of these retards and these vagabonds, criminals, Satanists, perverts that walk amongst us. So stand brave and upright that Yahweh may love thee. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Yahweh loves the man that takes a stand, or the cuck, snowflake, or soy boy with his hair in a bun and carrying his little purse with makeup on? Which one do you think Yahweh loves? I'll give you three guesses, and two of them don't count. Speak the truth always, even if it means your death. Yeah. Folks, even if it means your death. You see, we can't do anything about dying. My dear father, just before he passed over, he and I were at my mom's gravesite, and he looked at me and he said, Dan, let me tell you something. He goes, dying is easy. It's the living that's tough as hell. And when he first said that, this was quite a few years ago now, I thought, that's a strange thing to say, as we were talking to my mother. dying is easy. Why would Dad say that? And it was less than a year later that he passed. The older I've gotten, the more I understand. It's like the old saying, the older you get, the smarter your parents get. Well, the same thing's happened to me. The older I've gotten, the more wisdom I've seen in what my mom and dad used to tell me all the time. Dying is easy. We're afraid of it because it's unknown. Even though if we love Father Yahweh and we study the scripture, we should know death is just as much a part of life as birth. You had nothing to do with your being born. Absolutely nothing. But you're here, aren't you? You're breathing air. You see the beauty of this world. You can touch, feel. You got senses. You can love. You can hate. You can cry. You can laugh. So you're here. And you had nothing to do with it. And the same thing with death. We haven't experienced it before, and so it's unknown, and people tend to fear what's unknown. But Yahweh wants to assure you that you should lose the fear of it. I've had the pleasure of talking with 6 people who have experienced the near-death experience or near-death event. And all 6 of them tell me almost the exact same thing. Not quite the same, but very close to the same. All 6 of them explained that they did not want to come back. When they were given the choice, they did not want to come back to this world. And that when I heard them say that, the words of my father came back to my memory. Dying is easy. It's the living that's hell. Because of all of these nefarious creatures that we have to deal with, all of these people that take pleasure in torture, pedophilia, organ harvesting, sex slave trade, all of the wars and the gassings and the bombs and the firestorms and the atomic bombs and all of the horrendous things man has created to punish, torture, maim and kill his fellow man. I could see what he's talking about. And that's part of why the living is hell for me. Because Yahweh's given me a glimpse of a world and what it could be if we would live according to his law. And the reason it made life hell is because so many other people don't see it. They'd rather argue with me. I can't tell you how many times I've had arguments, many times with people I respect and love, where I'm a family member of, or we've been friends for a long time. And here's the problem I have with that. I don't really have a problem if you disagree with me, but would you please disagree with me based on some kind of logic, some kind of in-depth look into the subject matter where you've actually taken the time to analyze my position and analyze your position so that we can have an intelligent discourse about the two. But often it's an ad hominem attack. That's a Latin term meaning to the man, which means you're attacking the man and his character rather than the subject. So ad hominem. It's an ad hominem attack against me for even stating my purpose or my beliefs with no logic or reasoning behind it whatsoever. They just don't like what I have to say. Those are the kind of people that irritate the living crap out of me. They really do. When you have no integrity, you have no problem with your basing your opinion on hearsay, the media, the government, NASA, whatever, but you yourself haven't actually taken the time to figure it out. That's idol worship, people. That's no different than the saying in the New Testament where he condemned those who honored the tradition of the elders. What do you think the Bible's trying to tell you? When you honor what you consider tradition of your ancestors, even if it's wrong, simply because it's tradition. Why are most Roman Catholics Roman Catholic? Because it's tradition. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to Roman Catholics and got into debates with them, and they have to admit that a lot of my arguments are true, and they'll even admit that the Pope is pretty despicable, and a lot of things the Catholic Church is despicable. So when I ask them, well, then why the hell are you still in it? Well, because my family is. Or my family would disown me. I remember particularly one fellow from Italy that I worked with in Ohio. That was his response to me. My family's been Catholic as long as I can remember, and I wouldn't dare go against that. See? It's idol worship. Idolatry. Respecting the tradition of the elders rather than the truth. And yet, what did Yahweh tell us in the New Testament? It is the truth that will set you free. Nowhere in there does it say honoring the traditions of my family will set me free. Nowhere in there does it say if I kiss the ass on the Jew down at work, maybe I'll keep my job. Maybe I'll get a raise instead of the black guy or the woman. And you know, there's some people out there who don't think that's true, but I got it straight from a naval officer. A bunch of white guys working their asses off, doing extra duty, extra quals to get a very special promotion. I believe it was a battlefield-type promotion. Can't remember the exact name of it, but it requires a lot of work. They were putting in a lot of extra hours, a lot of study time, a lot of qual time. And then the admiral came into that room full of white guys, telling them about the upcoming selection process and how much he thought of them putting in this extra effort. And then he said, oh, by the way, if a black guy or gal puts in for this promotion, they're going to get it. He actually said that to this room full of officers. Can you imagine that? He actually had the nerve to tell them that if a black or a woman puts in for it, they're going to get it. And sure enough, that's what happened. And sure enough, the black guy got it. So when this room full of white officers decided to look into this guy's background, guess what they found out? He didn't do a damn thing to get that promotion. He didn't put in any extra time. In fact, he was lucky if he put in 40 hours a week. You were lucky to find him where he was supposed to be 30 hours out of the week. And his quals, half of his quals weren't done and the other half were out of date. But that's what happens in America today. So when you tell me that my white ancestors who founded this country and left it to their posterity, which is me, my children, my grandchildren, and those of the other white men and women I know, and you think that that's unfair, well, why don't you hypocrites have a problem with an admiral walking in and telling a room full of qualified white guys that, well, we would give you the promotion, but we're going to do the political correct thing and give it to an unqualified woman or an unqualified black. And I saw it happen in the electrical power industry time and time and time again. I saw it happen in the Department of Energy when I worked at Savannah River. I saw it when I was in the Department of Defense in the United States Air Force. Starting around 1975, the exact same thing. So don't sit there and tell me because you think it doesn't fit what you believe or that you think it's harmful. I've lived it. You're going to have a hard time arguing with me. I've lived it. I've studied it. I observed it. And that's one of the beautiful things that I'm glad that Yahweh through the Holy Spirit led me to this radio show, because I've been privileged to speak his truth, but I've also been privileged to interview some of the finest men and women I've ever known. And some of them, like Philip Glidden in Florida, who wrote the book Jews Are a Parasite, he's an atheist. He's an atheist. But we had a wonderful interview. Because, yeah, okay, well, he can answer to Father over his atheism. That's not my problem. What I liked was his deductive reasoning as a member of the education profession for many years in New England before he retired to Florida, that he observed the machinations of these people called Jews and their undue influence over education in America. See, I didn't turn him away. I didn't cop an attitude. Oh, you're a lost sinner. I don't want to talk to you. And hell, he wrote a great book, gave a great interview exposing the Jews for what they are, interlopers, assassins, just like termites. They work in the dark, ever eating away at the foundation. Termites. That's what they are. Termites. Another one that was sent to me that's really, really good. Never be lukewarm, because life itself demands passion. He who is indifferent to Yahweh has already forfeited his soul. He who is indifferent to politics has already forfeited his liberty. In America, religion is not mere window dressing, and citizenship is not a spectator sport. Do not allow our common destiny as a whole people, talking to you white men and women, to just happen without your input. When you go to the grave, ladies and gentlemen, will the world be different because you were here? Did you make a mark, or did you just behave like a bag of bones, just putting in your time? Have as much fun as you can, get as much material stuff, play as many sports games, watch as much television, have as much sex, do as many drugs as possible, thinking that's your measure of success in life. Our ancestors would have looked at you with complete disdain. Even the pagans would not have looked at you other than a cuck. Useless. No mark made by your presence on this earth. You carry nothing into eternity with you, except that you were here, soon to be forgotten. Soon to be forgotten. All right, I know we only got about 23 minutes left, but the phone number, if somebody did have a comment or question, is area code 605-472-5300. Again, that's 605-472-5300. Access code 649-249. And the one thing I wanted to set here, there we go. Okay. Now, some of the news items that shows that some people are paying attention to what Scripture says, whether they know it or not, that says you will be doers rather than hearers only. It's one thing to hear the word. It's one thing to acknowledge that Yahweh exists and acknowledge the Scriptures are true. Even Satan does that. You assert yourself as a true son or daughter of Yahweh when you become a doer. In New Jersey, I watched a YouTube yesterday of a group of citizens at a town meeting, and they were attacking the town council, screaming and yelling. They took over the entire meeting over the issue of vaccinating their children. The town council was trying to enact legislation or local ordinances requiring young people to be vaccinated. That's like saying, I'm going to make a law that says that you must poison your child. Now, I've talked to a few of these numbnuts out here that want to try to tell me that vaccines are good. I even had some idiot just up the road here on a conversation try to tell me that he thought we should have a law that forces vaccination. Well, retard, let me tell you something. This is a constitutional republic which guarantees my rights. However, my rights existed prior to that. And if you dumbasses think that you're going to enact legislation that forces me to inject anything into my body, then you and I are going to have a problem. Period. All right? You can threaten anything you want, but you and I, the person trying to force something as idiotic and as draconian as that on me or my family, we're going to have words or maybe worse. You don't have that right. Do you understand? Nowhere is it written. Nowhere do you have a right to do that. The area code is 605. That's correct. 605. Again, 605-472-5300. Access code 649249. And another good note of believers taking action, the state of South Carolina, the state representatives have enacted a bill to secede from the union if the federal government pursues this confiscatory legislation and any activities that would try to disarm the people of South Carolina. Hallelujah. I believe that we should all do that. That's, again, why I'm pushing for the free state of Florida, because, first of all, we have a traitor as governor, and the first lady of Florida is a criminal, and they're unfit for office. They need to be tried for their crimes, but they sure as hell don't belong in Tallahassee in the governor's mansion. So we're basically leaderless in the state of Florida. I say we need to establish the free state and have a new election, paper ballots, no more computers, take every one of the computer systems and throw them in the trash where they belong, and the citizens, the rightful citizens, cast ballots, and we elect a new governor, because this guy's a traitor. Okay, he's a traitor and unfit for office. He shouldn't even be there. Actually, every county sheriff should generate a general warrant for his arrest and the first lady's arrest. If we actually had men, if we actually had real sheriffs who have studied the book Anderson on sheriffs, constables, and coroners, they would find the duties and the power, by the way, the power of the sheriff, because the sheriff belongs to us. That's why he's an elected official, except in Miami-Dade County, which that needs to be fixed too. I don't know who the criminals were that got that change, but that's unlawful. They made the highest official of law enforcement in Miami-Dade is an appointed person. Appointed? That means he works for the local thugs. All right. The sheriff belongs to the people. So Miami-Dade has nobody representing we the people in the area of law enforcement. That's the sheriff's job. He's there as a line of defense against tyranny for we the people. So that's another thing that needs to be fixed here in the free state of Florida. We need all the traitors to get out of here. I watched that YouTube by the sheriff in, I believe it's Hanson or Harris County, Georgia, that has a sign coming into his county that says, "We are an open carry county. And if you, you're coming here, you need to know that if you intend to do wrong, you just might end up dead." I thought that was interesting. So they're proudly American, proudly Second Amendment, and they even state so as you come into their county, the citizens there have a right to open carry or conceal carry. I can't remember I think everybody has a right to open carry, actually. We don't talk about it, but open carry has never been in question. It's only concealed carry. All right, but even concealed carry should be none of their damn business. They have no right to make a law regarding the Second Amendment rights or the right to bear arms. They have no right to make any legislation that restricts that in any way, shape, or form. The Second Amendment is so that we can fight the government. That's it. Anybody that argues any other thing about the Second Amendment is a liar. Second Amendment is so that the citizen soldier is equipped, and the governor is supposed to ensure that the citizen soldiers are equipped equal to the military. The reason being is it's our defense. Should the sheriff fail, the governor fail, And the feds use their military might to try to inject themselves into our society more than they're supposed to, which is called a tyranny, then we have the means to defend ourselves. Period. You don't need to talk about any other issue when you're talking about the Second Amendment. That's what it's for. Another news item is the strange number of military aircraft that have had failures here recently. The only thing we don't know is it the good guys bringing down bad guys, or the bad guys bringing down good guys, or is it a mixture? But we have military aircraft failing, helicopters, jet planes, one of which was the Thunderbirds, which I've seen personally. Them and the Blue Angels are phenomenal, phenomenal pilots. And they take phenomenal care of those planes. So for there to be a failure of some sort and a crash with those guys, something went wrong. And the fact that all these other military aircraft, including sometimes naval vessels, are having all these problems, there's something going on. Oh, I know what it was. It was Harris County, Georgia, and the sheriff's name is Mike Jolly. And he warns people coming into Harris County, Georgia, that the people, the citizens, are armed and they're not afraid to use it. I hope everybody is aware as we're approaching a very significant time on the timeline of the end times, that Yahweh is taking away the fence. Okay, have you noticed that? You know, we got a lot of people that are just plain lazy. They're just lazy asses. And they think, like so many people in the past, that they're just going to be able to sit their lazy ass up on that fence and sit it out. Most people know that we're in trouble. Most people know there's a lot of criminality. There's some really weird and dangerous and perverse things going on. That's not even debatable anymore. When you got two complete retards like Hogue and Gonzalez going around and the media is trying to tell you that we need to listen to what these two have to say, man, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. The problem is, in the past, a lot of people, being lazy, lacking any kind of empathy, they just want to sit up on the fence and basically see who wins. And then when they figure out who's going to win, they jump off and join a crowd. They're called sunshine patriots. In other words, they'll be a patriot when the sun's shining, but once it's starting to rain or if a blizzard's coming in, it's a little tough. I think I'll sit it out. I'm going to stay home where it's warm and eat my porridge, and you guys can duke it out in Valley Forge and Newark during the Revolution. I'm going to stay here. Let me know how it works out, though, okay? Send me an email. Have George Washington send me an email. Let me know how it works out. I might come out and greet you when you come back victorious. You know, that's the kind. You know, instead of like the Spartans, when their men went off to battle, they had a saying that says, you come back carrying this sword or this shield. You come back carrying this shield or on it. It means you come back in victory, meaning you got your shield with you in victory, or you're dead. And you're being carried back for burial on the shield. Our people historically do not honor and respect fence setters. Do not honor and respect cucks and soy boys. History and our ancestors respected warriors. As James Lancia likes to say, it's time to be lions again. And most certainly it is. So those folks out there that have this notion that they're going to sit on the fence and ride it out, Yahweh's doing us a great big favor. He's tearing that fence down. Take a look at how rotten things have gotten. How despicable things have gotten. How corrupt government and media and institutions and banking has become worldwide. Humanity is crying for a change. Humanity wants a reset. And Yahweh says it's going to happen. But there will be no fence setting. So that means for you people that think you're going to sit on the fence, you're going to be in bad shape here in the very near future. Because if you're not on our side, it will assume that you're on the other side since there's no fence. It's not going to be pretty. And of course, our enemy is going to assume the same thing. If you're not helping the enemy, the Antichrist, Communist, Zionist, Jew, Satan worshipers, then they're going to assume you're with us, even though you might not be. And they will deal with you accordingly. Remember, the communists are famous for that, by the way. Even if you help them, many, many times the Jews will line up the very idiotic, useful idiots of the white race that helped them come to power. They will line them up and shoot them as soon as they obtain power because they know they can't trust them. Also, they don't want witnesses. I hope all you of the cabal and the Pedigate and Pizzagate and all you demented morons that are going along with these perverts, I hope you understand you're in bad shape. Because if they think that you might turn, you might be a witness against them, or you might become a whistleblower, they'll be having you for lunch instead of that child. Not a very, very good spot to be in, is it? You have a little window of opportunity for repentance. I know most of you won't, but there may be a few of you out there that the Holy Spirit's talking to. You might be able to seek repentance and forgiveness. I'm glad Yahweh is the decider of those sorts of things because I'm sort of a hardliner when it comes to that. If you've done the despicable things that I've read about to these children, it would be very difficult for me to show you much mercy. So I'll leave that one up to Father. But the main point I'm trying to make here is you got to make up your minds, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to come down on one side or the other. There is no middle ground. There is no no man's land like in World War I between the trenches. There is no such thing as no man's land. There's no safe place for you to sit on this one. This is the battle. This is the big one. This is the one that the Dead Sea Scrolls refers to, okay? This is the one for all of the marbles. One side wins, the other side loses. One side goes to glory and prosperity under Yahweh's law, and the other one into darkness and despair under satanic rule. That's the only two choices you've got. So pick which one you want. Do you want to listen to the little automatons and the little cucks like Hogue and Gonzalez and the rest of the ilk like that are out there trying to disarm us for their communist masters? Or do you want to take the side of those trying to stop this onslaught? Yahweh knows where you're at. Yeah, he knows what you're deciding. He even knows what you're thinking. He knows. But you're being identified for us as well. You have to ask yourself, Father already knows. Why is Father choosing now to identify the tares? Interesting thought, isn't it? Can we say Obadiah 18, maybe? Can we say parable of the wheat and the tares and the fact that Father says that he will bundle them together for us for the burning, biblical way of saying, utter destruction? So the tares are being identified. I think you should pay attention, folks. I got an article here. Let me share it. It came from Before It Is News. I'm not sure who wrote it. I couldn't find a title, but it was put out today, and it's about a economic reset, prepare for economic turmoil. Even apparently President Trump had something to say about that recently. It's brought to getthetea.com. In the early part of World War I, way back in 1916, an organization of generals was formed called America First. So I was wrong about that. It was actually in 1916, not later. In 1971, as the U.S. gold ran out after a never-ending, quote, police action in Vietnam, President Nixon took America off the gold standard by, what I am told, order of the CIA. In 2007, I watched a new 200-acre Russian and Chinese Economic Cooperation Center being built in St. Petersburg, Russia, which was completed with the issuance of the gold-backed yuan on 26 March of 2018. In January of 2014, thank you, Dr. Jim Willie, a secret treaty was signed by 105 nations calling for an economic reset and a return to the gold standard. The CIA responded to this treaty with a major conflict in the Ukraine in order to suck the nation dry of the mineral coltan for the Super Duty top secret space program ran out of Bethesda, Maryland by Lockheed Martin, the largest arms manufacturer in the world. About 2 years ago, before President Trump took office, the U.S. made an agreement with China indicating that the U.S. dollar would be put to bed, a new dollar would be issued, and its value would fall by 50% in the first year, and if the trade deficits continue, by another 20% the year after. Further, the last president agreed to open America's borders and destroy our infrastructure. Members of the new frazzled cabinet were appointed, and the United Nations responded with treaties to break America apart into six different countries. Then something amazing happened. In November of 2016, only 10% of the real votes counted went to the frazzled rat, and someone legitimized some of the voting results, and Donald Trump was elected president, bringing together a 102-year-old organization called America First. Exactly what President Trump has done with these treaties and agreements is only a guess, but it is clear he has changed or canceled most of them, and the Democratic appointed regional leaders like Governor Jerry Brown and Washington's Governor Jay Inslee are fit to be tied and striking out against anything decent in our society. Now, again, we are in perilous times, and we're not exactly sure who's telling us the truth about much of anything anymore. But there's enough signs that say we should be on our guard about most anything. Again, we've said this for so long on this radio show, based on the military men that I converse with, every home should have everything it needs to stay hunkered down, meaning stay within the walls of your house if needed, for 3 months with no outside energy or supplies. Are you listening to what I'm saying? In your minds, try to picture what it would be like if the electricity went off, the water was shut off, there was no trucking, there were no trains, there were no ships, there were no deliveries for 3 months. What would you need to survive? It doesn't cost that much. For you latecomers, you can still go to a gun show and get an SKS rifle for pretty damn cheap. I remember when I got one SKS in mint condition with 1,100 rounds, and it had a bayonet, a sling, and a cleaning kit, and it was less than $200 for the whole thing. You have a way to defend yourself. Water filters. There's all kinds of water filters. Big Berkeys. There's Katadyn made in Switzerland. All kinds of stuff so that you at least can drink water and you can defend yourself. And then you can go out and buy a bunch of rice, which is still fairly cheap. You can buy oatmeal. You can get honey. The good thing about honey is it does not spoil. Not only that, but honey is medicinal. Oh, and I can see we're almost out of time. So I'm going to have to cut this off. Yahweh bless everybody. Thanks for being here with us. By Yahweh's design, I'm Commander Dan. And here at EuroFolkRadio.com. Again, continued happy Passover and hallelujah.